The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
It is a new year and a new way of doing things, New Year's resolutions. He is the same man, though. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm the same guy, too, Tony Curry, here on Tony Curry Radio. Welcome to 2024 here in another edition of Mission Minded. Looking forward to taking the show to new heights and new lengths and kind of broadening our expansions. I always talk about stretching our legs. We're going to allow you to stretch your legs philosophically and business-wise through Mission Mind, keep your mind, your mission on your mind. But Michael, happy new year to you, brother. How are you doing, man? Everything good?
Happy new year to you as well. Well, I'm licking my wounds a little bit. We're recording this the day after Alabama lost in overtime to Michigan.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But tough game. But anyway, very optimistic about 2024 and very thankful to be here with you. And love doing the show and hope it's of value to people. And
So you brought this up, and this is a great interview. So before we get into our topic, and I'm sorry because we may get into this, and we may not even get into your topic now that I'm thinking about this, but it's perfect timing with what we just saw with Alabama. First of all, the overtime agenda in college football, that's why it's so great and so absolutely heartbreaking, because you can go from being up 7 1 minute and within 3 minutes all of a sudden be down 7 and it's fourth and goal, and if you don't score, I mean, just a minute ago you were about ready to win this game that was going to put you in the national championship game, and all of a sudden you're looking at your clock and it's fourth and goal and you're like, what just happened here? That's by design, because obviously the way the ball goes back and forth. But the other thing I think is really interesting is this. When you've worked really hard all season long and you have one thing that you want, in this particular case, we're talking about a national championship. And obviously, there's been a process. There's been a growing process. There's been all these things you've learned along the way. There's been failures. There's been trials. There's been tribulations. I get all that. I understand that thing. But then all of a sudden, the thing that you fought all season for, all year long, is no longer in your grasp. Can you analogize that in a business sense? And what I mean by that is, and the only thing I can think of is, maybe you have a huge proposal. You're trying to get the government contract on something, and you have had to put all your resources and your entire workforce into putting some type of proposal together to get this monster buy that's going to stretch you and get you through the next 3 or 4 years, whether it's going to be just a monster buy. I think a lot of people have done that. Hey, listen, if we can just get this person to order these 100,000 widgets, it's going to be enough for us to put the money back into our coffers. We're going to have enough money. Can you make that analogy a little bit, and what it feels like to have that ripped away from you at the last minute, knowing, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm somebody who loves to every year have goals, and I'm never satisfied with just, hey, let's just do what we did last year. We're doing it well. It's always, I want to maximize our capacity, because what we do in the nonprofit world is about impacting lives. And so the more we do is not necessary. It requires generating more dollars, but that doesn't equate to like a business owner where there's more money in our pockets. It equates to greater impact. And so that's what drives me, is how do I have the most impact? And so sometimes there's initiatives that you put out there that you have just the highest of hopes for. And then obviously we're just coming out of a key fundraising season, and I still haven't done all the analysis. But when you look at something like that, and let's say you fall short of what you wanted because you know you need X amount of dollars to do X amount of initiative, you can fall short. And if you're not careful as the leader, and I have to remind myself of this, you can focus on that and then almost project that you're disappointed. So right now, Nick Saban, of course, the standard of Alabama is very high, and it's almost national championship or bust. But most people agree that this was by far one of Saban's most talented teams. And that's why they kept saying for him to make it to the playoffs was one of his best coaching jobs ever, because he didn't have the great quarterback. He didn't have all of that, you know, especially during the year. But he went in and beat a Georgia who had not lost for three seasons and beat them for the SEC championship game. So, yes, he's not going to be satisfied with just being SEC champ, but to say that this season was a bust diminishes all that was accomplished by them. Mm-hmm. So me as a leader, I have to be very careful that I don't go, oh, we didn't raise all the money we wanted, or we're not going to get to do X, Y, and Z, as if we're disappointed, because then that kind of just brings a downward mood, if you will, on all the other accomplishments. So it's very important to focus on, it's okay to have high aspirations. You push towards that. If you don't get it, I think you have to evaluate that in the full context of what your organization did. Because I can look at, say, this year. Now, of course, our fiscal year runs July to June, so we're halfway through our fiscal year. But we're on pace this fiscal year to distribute 2 million more pounds of food than we did last year. And last year, we increased the previous year a million. So in the year, you know, in the 2 years I've been here, well, it would be 2 years in the summer, we will have increased distribution by 3 million pounds. Well, that's not insignificant.
Yeah.
Now, is it everything that we wanted to do? Have we been able to jump? No, but we've done so many good things. And so I want to project, I want to focus on what I appreciate about the organization. I want to focus on the people, the new donors that came on. I still want to get the old donors that maybe dropped off and didn't give this year. You still want to try to reclaim them, but I don't want to focus on what we lost. I want to focus on what we gained and try to stay positive and keep the momentum going. And that's something that as a leader, I have to pull from within myself. I have to have that awareness, because if it was a mid-level manager, you know, the supervisor, I could come in and go, no, we got it. Let's focus on this right now. I don't have anybody. I've got a board of directors, but, you know, mm-hmm. they're kind of distant. So if there's leaders of organizations out there, even if there are tough times, and every business goes through tough times, and every business fails to get the big contract, and every business fails to get the big donor, whatever it is, you're going to have disappointments. You're going to have failures. I think it's better if you can talk about those things, but don't let it define you and don't let it define the work. Because I've had people that work through the calendar year 2023 that have busted their hump. And as a result of what they're doing, we're making a greater impact. And that's the bottom line. We may not get to do everything we want, but you can build them up and show them that they have value and that we have value as an organization. And therefore, you know, the season's not a bust. I know Saban's going to get that question from somebody. Do you consider the season a bust? And yes, he wanted to get a national championship, but he'll say, how can you call SEC champions a bust? I mean, it's a success. So it's all about perspective and all about what you want to project to those that are involved.
And I think what's really interesting about the Nick Saban thing, we've certainly talked a lot about that on TKR, because we talk a lot about businesses and sports here on the Tony Curry Radio platform, but it was from top to bottom. There was a lot of things in coaching that weren't done very well in that game as well, including a lot of people would say, you know, the play call at the end is, you know, so I mean, it goes from top to bottom. It's got to be frustrating from a coach's standpoint, and that's what I think makes it maybe as heart-wrenching it is for Alabama, as beautiful it is for Michigan, because all I'm hearing about is this love affair. If I have to hear Jim Harbaugh tell me how much he loves his football team one more time, I'm going to lose my brain that we're all on the same page, because I don't think everyone wants to be on the same page. But unfortunately, it just wasn't that way for Alabama. But, you know, maybe they're just a year out. But you're right. You know, when you don't win a national championship for 3 years, people start asking questions like, what's wrong? It's like, come on now. You know, let's be real here. So. Interesting. Yeah. All right. So this kind of goes along with what you wanted to bring up. This is Mission Minded. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO, of course, of Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Does fantastic work. 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama. I'm Tony Curry. You can hear the show at least 5 times a week on TKR. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast and on the YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, How to Make the Biggest Impact. I'm not going to read through these, but I want you to explain to people what exactly you sent me. Their questions, and the minute I got through the first half of these, I kind of understood where you, and I love when you gave me homework. I love when you give me homework because I know I'm going to learn something, but explain to me basically what this is real quick, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody comes up with, you know, if you do it, hey, I want to lose some weight. Everybody's got the New Year's goal, same thing every year. And then most of those go away. If not all of those go away. And I saw this thing by Charles Schulz, and it reminded me of his philosophy. And he just asked a series of questions. And, I mean, there are questions I can't answer. He says, now, I might name you five wealthy people, but he said, name the five wealthiest people. And then he goes, name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. And then five winners of the Miss America pageant, the last five winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. He just goes on and on and on. And these are people, I mean, those are the top of their game. You know, the Jeff Bezos of the world, Warren Buffett, all those. And then, of course, I couldn't name you any Miss Americas. But the rigors of going through the state pageantry and then going into, I mean, I still have respect for people who are at the top of their game, even if I don't understand what that game is or don't participate. When you are the best at what you do, that's impressive. But the reality is the average person is not impacted by those people, and the average person don't know those people or have a relationship with them. So the reality is the five wealthiest people don't have an impact on my life. And so what his philosophy was is think back to the people that really matter to you. And so he threw out some like name the teacher that made the greatest impact on you. And we can all sit back. Now I was terrible in school. And was brought up in a broken home, had very difficult circumstances. And I had teachers that hated me. And I get hating me because I was the smart aleck. I was the rebellious kid. I was the, you know, I was just a hellion. But there were some people who understood kind of what I was dealing with behind the scenes and showed a lot of empathy and genuinely reached out in a caring way. And I think about, you know, they didn't have to do those kind of things. They didn't have to act like they gave a crap about me. They could have just come in and done a job, or it could have been a coach who spent extra time coaching you or helping you navigate through things in your life. I think about this. He says, name three friends that have helped you. And I all throughout my military career, because, you know, we can go back to our 20s when we knew everything. Yeah. And I thought I knew everything. When I was a new parent, people who taught me about parenting. When I was in the Army, when I started out, I brought my high school rebellion into the military, and I was not long for the military. But I had a guy that started showing me how to be a good soldier and started mentoring me. It doesn't matter what aspect of my life, I can look back and go, there were the difference makers in my life. And so I start thinking, man, I want to be that for other people, you know? So, but here's the challenge we all have, because I'm so busy. Everybody's so busy. But if I'm going to impact people's lives, how do I become that good friend? How do I become that mentor to somebody who needs a mentor? It means I have to be willing to stop what I'm focusing on and focus on other people and putting other people ahead of myself. Because how nice is it to think that when I'm dead and gone, I'm not going to be the wealthiest person, the smartest person, the best athlete, or anything else, but people crying at your funeral or when they hear about your loss and the very first thing that pops in their head is, I wouldn't be here where I am today if it weren't for that person. I mean, that's what I want to be involved in. That's what I want my life to be wrapped up in.
That's a beautiful thing. And it really is. And I think, you know, maybe because of the age that you and I are in, I'm starting to feel that aspect of my life right now. How do I want to be remembered as far as a great grandfather, as a great father, business owner, impactor? You do realize that you got to pay it forward and you got to do it for the right reason. But you realize that by doing things for other people, that's how you truly move the needle. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. I always tell people, you know, there may be someone and gosh, I hope that people have done so many things for me, including yourself, business owners and friends, have done things for me. And I hope, you know, and I've tried to repeat those processes for other people. That I've always needed things. And I've always told people if they feel bad, they're like, really, I feel difficult or I feel bad for having to ask you this. And I'm like, what do you got? And I'm like, keep asking, keep working, keep putting yourself in the right positions, to use that leverage, for whatever you're asking for, so that, yeah, you can help that person on the backside. But sometimes by not asking for that help, you're not allowing that person to help you. Can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, because because if you're sitting back and you've got all these resources and you're not helping anyone because everyone's afraid to ask and they don't want to ask you because, well, Mike's, you know, he's got too much on his plate, blah, 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 blah. You're not allowing your gift. You're not allowing what God put in your heart to do for others. And by not doing that, you can't find your refuge too.
Yeah, so boy, I tell you, and it goes into another aspect of our society that I really struggle with, and that is we value independence. The problem is, and so, you know, we wear that like a badge of honor. I'm self-sufficient, and there is something good about being self-sufficient and not being in a constant state of dependence. But you and I are men of faith, and one of the things the Christian faith talks about is that we have to live in dependence of God, but that actually works against our culture where we value independence. So we don't do dependence very well. We look at dependence as a weakness. It's one of the things we've talked about in food banking, where we don't look at, oh, my neighbor needs food, let me take him some food. Lots of times we tend to judge. We lead with judgment. Oh, well, why aren't they working? They must be lazy. They whatever. And so that carries over to where we don't want to impede on people's time, and I get that. You know, we want to be respectful and all that. But it becomes sometimes just a pride thing to admit that you need help. And what I found is, you know, if I've got somebody in my life, you know, how can I call somebody a friend if I can't reach out to them and be real about where I am? And that could just be emotionally. And just say, man, I'm just really struggling in my marriage, or I'm really struggling in life, or, you know, I've really got a tough life decision about whether I want to stay in this job or go to a different job. And if I can't call you and say, hey, let's go have a beer and can you just help me navigate through this? I'd love to hear your advice. If somebody doesn't have time for that, then that's not somebody in my inner circle that I want to be involved in. But the reverse of that is true as well. Somebody who calls me, I have to make myself available. Now, I'm going to tell you where that's happened in my life several times. When I started Hope Inspired Ministries, starting a nonprofit from scratch, a lot of people who come up, who interact with people in Montgomery and otherwise, will say, hey, I'm thinking about starting a nonprofit. And everybody goes, well, call Michael Coleman. He started it. He'll help you. And so I get calls all the time, but I made a commitment a long time ago, because when I started a nonprofit, I didn't have anybody to call. So I had to build a website, didn't know anything about building a website. I had to put in an application, didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about setting up my first budget or writing a business plan and all the things that are involved in that. And I just made a commitment that I'm not going to turn anybody away, that I will sit down and have that conversation. Now, I'll give them things to do, like, hey, put together a business plan. I teach them how to do that, and then come back. And most people stop right there when they realize all the work that's involved in it. But just recently, I had a guy who called me, who I think the world of, He's a man who is a deep man of faith. He was on my board previously. He uses his business to bless the community. Just, he comes from just a super family. And he called me. He's on the board of another nonprofit. And he said, I've got some real concerns. And I was like, well, David, would you like me to go do just kind of an assessment of that nonprofit and be able to kind of report back to you that? And he said, oh, that would be. And so he goes, man, you have time to do that? And I said, yes. And I said, you know, of course, no charge for this. I had to put myself, now, was it a pain in the rear? Of course it was, because I had to spend hours upon hours investigating. And it was uncomfortable going to another nonprofit, talking to another executive director. I'm like, dude, I'm not sharpshooting you. I'm over here for David trying to get some answers to some things. But I gave him a report, but I enjoyed doing it. Not all the work, but I enjoyed him being able to help him and being of value to him as a friend, because I know how valuable he's been to me and how helpful he's been to me. So I need to be more like that. I need to stop, you know, when I see an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, like when that man passes away, if he passes away before I do, that's a funeral I want to be at, or that's somebody I can always say, and I still say today, that's one of the greatest men I know, and he's impacted my life in this way. I want to be that person. I want to strive to be that person to make the world around me better, but it doesn't come by accident. I have to be intentional. I have to commit myself to that, and while I'm not going to be perfect at it, I certainly want to get better at it.
Well, and what I don't think a lot of people remember too, and I have to remind myself too, that time is a resource, and that giving time to another human being, to a friend, just to lean an ear to, you may not have all the answers, but just to be able to have a conversation with somebody is the best resource you can possibly give somebody. I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't have a lot of money, and my business isn't particularly successful, and I don't really know what I could do for this individual. But sometimes just leaning an ear in, man, is all it takes, because a lot of times, you know, that's how therapy works. Sometimes you can just help that person talk their way through their own situation. So sometimes just being there and being that ear, just talk about that for just a minute. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go to people close to me because they're subject matter experts. I go to people because they give a damn about me. And lots of times when I talk through my issues, first of all, it's so healthy, just mentally healthy, to be able to talk through something. And lots of times the answer is obvious, but if it's spinning around my head versus being able to, and then them just asking me pointing, we're not saying, well, here's what you need to do. Bless my father's heart. He's been gone now. It's been 9 years, but I would get into situations with my dad. He was just old school, and I get two sentences into it, and he said, well, Michael, here's what you need to do. And I'm like, well, you ain't even heard what the full problem is. And he's already determined, that's not what I need. I need somebody to listen to what I'm saying, ask me pointed questions, ask me, and say, well, have you thought about these things? But help just guide my thinking. But when I leave there, it's not even so much about the advice they've given me, or it's the fact that, man, there's somebody in my life that genuinely and authentically cares. And how do they show that? By taking an hour or two and just giving it to me. And there's such a value to that. And I'm like, I will tell you, I don't want to say this because I've had people that came up through Hope Inspired Ministries that I tried to love on, and it's so difficult sometimes, completely different culture. They do things that just make you hammer your head into a wall because there's old habits that they won't get rid of, but they've told other people, oh, Michael hadn't started this ministry, I would have never. And you just don't have any idea. And when you hear that, it warms my heart, because I've forgotten a lot of those people, a lot of those students over time. but they remember either me or the ministry that I started. They attribute it to me. And I'm like, there's no greater feeling than when somebody tells you that. And I'm like, so if that feels good to me, you know what? I need to make sure that I'm communicating that around me to those who are doing that for me, because I want to build them up. Their blessing that doesn't come from just dispensing.
Yes.
That their blessing comes back from saying, how I can't thank you enough. You made the difference. You taking that time set me on the right course, and that's invaluable to me.
And it's amazing too, but sometimes, and I've got a friend of mine who's going through kind of the same situation, who is a, because we're guys and we fix things. We want to be fixers. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you're coming to me and you're asking me this question. So let me try to help you fix it. Well, we're not always looking for fixers. We're just, right. we're wanting to throw out a situation, and maybe we need to do a better job of going, listen, I've got an idea. Just listen to me first before you say anything, because there are fixers out there. People are like, okay, are you asking me to do this? And I'm like, I haven't even asked you to do anything yet. I'm just asking you as a friend right now, just to listen to what I've got to say, be a listener, and then, you know, allow me, because there are some people that they're just fixers. They just want to fix, and that's not always, it's not always what you're looking for too. So great stuff.
Well, you know, that's a whole women. That's us getting in touch with our feminine side, because I recognize that's what my wife does to me. And she brings me problems, like, and she gets into it, and I've got three easy solutions. Oh. She's like, I don't want you to fix it. No. So the difference is, my wife never wants me to fix it. She just wants me to listen. And that's maddening, especially when there are easy fixes to it.
Yeah.
But with guys, sometimes you're right. Sometimes we're guilty of it, but sometimes we're just like ladies. We're like, hey, we just want you to listen. And then at the end, if you have some thoughts to share, but yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's how it is. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We love to take your email questions. We haven't taken any the last couple weeks. Maybe we'll do some of those next week. And of course, we have another show called Bite by Bite, which we do right here. It airs right after this wonderful Mission Minded show right here on Tony Curry Radio 5 days a week. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major indice out there, including, of course, on the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, which you can watch right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.